Throughout the 70s and 80s and continuing into the 90s, the Vatican Pavilion site in Flushing Meadows Park, New York, was the site of an ongoing drama that continues to this day to draw people from afar. During rosary vigils held regularly throughout the year, the Virgin Mary appeared at this site, curing the sick, alleviating the afflicted, and giving to the world a number of messages that have profoundly influenced the lives of millions in recent times. The apparition was specifically to the late Veronica Lucan, a wife and mother of five from the New York area who was designated to be heaven's messenger in these latter days. During the vigils, Our Lady and Our Lord would manifest themselves to Veronica and deliver to her the message from heaven. Our Lady's purpose for coming to us in America is to alert the world's peoples to what is coming. She says that we are in the last days when God the Father is making ready to visit the world with a coming baptism of fire. This comes in two parts, 3 days of nuclear World War III, immediately followed by 3 days of darkness upon being planet-struck by the ball of redemption, a fiery comet sent from God. Our Lady says that out in our universe lies an immense ball of fire. This ball is of supernatural origin. Within our generation, this celestial agent will pass through our midst, leaving in its wake a devastation unlike anything ever witnessed upon earth before. It will be the hand of God being visited upon the world. In the message of August 21, 1976, St. Michael gives us the following where he says, "Be ye warned that houses shall blow in the wind, and skin shall dry up and blow off the bones, as if it has never been." Reference to this chastising comet is seen as far back as the book of Joel in the Old Testament. I quote where it says, "The day of the Lord cometh because it is nigh at hand, a day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and whirlwinds, before the face thereof a devouring fire, and behind it a burning flame. The land is like a garden of pleasure before it, and behind it a desolate wilderness, neither is there anyone that can escape it." Unquote. And that's from Joel chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Veronica explains this passage of Scripture, saying that in the days just before the comet, the world will be like a garden of pleasure, in that people will be eating and drinking and making merry, like pagans, and then the burning flame will pass through our midst and lay everything waste. The Apostle Peter refers to this coming time in his second epistle, where he says, quote, "The day of the Lord shall come as a thief, in which the heavens shall pass away with great violence, and the elements shall be melted with heat, and the earth and the works which are in it shall be burnt up." And as from 2 Peter 3:10, during the coming chastisement, the earth will literally be melted down by the great flame of the ball of redemption, and in this manner, all the works of man's pride will be dissolved, so that the earth will be restored back to its former purity. As to why this is coming should not surprise us when we consider the corrupt and degenerate state of today's world. As the message has said, evil is now being glorified in our society. We see the gays parading their shame down the streets of our cities. We see dirty movies against the Creator being applauded in theaters across America. Everywhere we see the society of modern man deviating from the truth. As Our Lady has said, sin has now become an accepted way of life in our country and in many countries throughout the world. The abortions alone are calling down upon ourselves this coming time of trial, and especially, too, with the abortion pill having been passed by our government leaders. Because, as we know, this makes it much easier now for women to abort their babies. Pop a pill and take a life. It's become all so easy now. As Our Lady said on May 26, 1979, quote, "Life has become very cheap, my children, and who will be the next to die an untimely death?" Unquote. Let it suffice to say, the present world condition is leaving the Eternal Father with no other recourse but to intervene upon the world with the heavy hand of justice. The most distressing thing about all this is that those who have the power to do good are not using their God-given talent to right the wrong in our world. And this we say, too, with regards to the bishops of our time. They basically have clammed up and are not saying anything against the conspiracy of evil that presently accosts society and the church. As Our Lady has said, many of the bishops have become despoilers of the human race. They have fallen in with the plan of the one-worlders with their agenda of humanism and abortion. In fact, in some dioceses, there are programs set up to pacify women who are about to have abortions. Or in many of our Catholic dioceses, they have programs to assist the cause of homosexuality. They will often be listed as gay lesbian ministries, where they have gay masses or gay meetings led by gay priests. And this is all to foster the growth of homosexuality. That the Church of our Divine Savior should bow down to sin and nurture this kind of rot is the great abomination of our time. And this is really the reason that God is making ready to unleash his fierce wrath upon the world, because his representatives upon earth have corrupted his house. They have defamed his legacy. They have allowed the revolutionary factions of the world to come through and overrun his church. Our Lady says that many martyrs will fall into hell for their permissiveness and the manner in which they now prostitute the house of God for worldly gain. Our Lady brings fair warning to all the priests and bishops of the world that they use the time now to purge the church of bribes and scandal, and that they restore the church back to its former glory. Otherwise, they will be facing within a short time the verdict of an angry God. Let them consider the words of Holy Scripture where it tells them, quote, "Because being ministers of his kingdom, you have not judged rightly, nor kept the law of justice, nor walked according to the will of God. Horribly and speedily will he appear to you, for a most severe judgment shall be for them that bear rule." And that's from the Book of Wisdom, chapter 6, verses 5 and 6. With the foregoing said, there is always the bright side, and no matter how dark things seem to get, we must never lose sight of the manner in which Our Lady has come to offer us a way out from the present darkness. The tide of evil may continue to rise and even engulf the nations eventually, but Our Lady is the Ark of God that has been provided for all those who wish to ride out these turbulent days in the company of Jesus and Mary. All who enter this Ark will not perish in the flood. Our Lady has referred to her sacred grounds in America as a port of salvation, a safe haven. With the sacred grounds, we not only have the promise of being shielded from the oncoming fury of God's wrath, but Our Lady promises to protect us from the flood of heresy and evil that presently engulfs our world. Our Lady's concern towards us is spiritual and physical, too. We are her children, and so she certainly knows how to take care of us. All we have to do is say yes and make a turn toward her. And the way that we do this is by staying attuned to her message, by wearing the brown scapular, and by using the sacramentals from the sacred grounds, especially the blessed rose petal. In saying this, we should emphasize, too, that Our Lady's apostolate is an extension of the sacred grounds, so that by receiving the blessed items and information from the shrine, this automatically brings you into the circle of light, provided, of course, that you believe the message and that you have a good will toward Our Lady. Naturally, it's always encouraged to make a pilgrimage to the sacred grounds, because as our Lord has said, he and his mother have made their home upon these grounds. Jesus and Mary have set up camp here, as it were. This is their stronghold during these latter days. So naturally, by going there in person, you get the maximum graces, graces of cure, graces for conversion. But for those who can't make it there, Our Lady will come to you. All you have to do is write in for your free information packet, because what we will send you is not only the printed information and messages from Our Lady, but we will include in your packet a laminated rose petal that has been blessed at the shrine that has attached to it the power of cure and conversion. Thousands have testified to the power of these rose petals, fulfilling the words of Our Lady on May 22, 1974, where she said, "The power from heaven shall be known through the roses." We invite you to write in for your free information packet and blessed rose petal. That mailing address, St. Michael's World Apostolate, P.O. Box 514, Bayside, New York, 11361. Or you can call our toll-free line. That's 1-800-345-MARY. You are listening to St. Michael's Broadcast, which is the radio program designated to bring to you the urgent message of Jesus and Mary to the world. And we have with us today a guest and friend of Our Lady of the Roses, Diane Contreras from Huntington Park, California. Good to have you with us, Diane.
Nice to be here.
And Diane, I understand you have a rather interesting story about how Our Lady brought you into this mission. Would you like to tell our listeners about this, how you came in touch with the Bayside message?
Yes, Our Lady called me there personally. It was in January of 1990, around 3 in the morning. She called out to me. She told me, she called out Sky.
She called out to you?
She called out to me.
Were you actually sleeping or were you awake at the time?
I was half
twilight.
Halfway, yes.
Then, but you say you actually heard Our Lady's voice?
I heard her voice. I actually sat up in bed because it was like, it just struck me.
And she called out to you. What did she say?
She called out Sky. This one word, Sky.
And what did that mean to you?
In the beginning, I didn't know. I sensed an urgency in her voice, and I was compelled to, you know, to find out what is it she wanted. And a few days had passed, and I had a Bayside message that I had with me for a while, and I had put away. And I kept sensing the look in that one particular place where I had my catalog, so I started pulling them out, and I came across the Buy Sky message.
Oh, so something that had been given to you, but you hadn't really zeroed in on it, read it like you should. What Diana here is referring to is a leaflet that the Shrine had produced back in the 80s. It featured one of the miraculous photographs on there, and in the caption it said that the coming warning and chastisement will come by sky. It will come by sky. So Our Lady, through this locution, was directing Diane to this leaflet. She wanted her to see this. So you read the leaflet now. Take us from there.
Okay, I read the leaflet, and without a doubt, I knew it was true. I rode into the Shrine, and they sent me an introductory booklet and a rose petal. And I attended our local meeting here in Los Angeles, May of 1990. And also attended my first vigil of June of 1990.
And what was your reaction at your first vigil?
It was absolutely beautiful. I saw Our Lady's blue calling lights.
You saw calling lights?
Yes.
Could you explain? What is that?
There were like big blue lights popping everywhere. Big blue. Beautiful.
Oh, my goodness. And how long did that last?
Probably 5 minutes, maybe.
Ooh.
As soon as Veronica came onto the vigil grounds, that's when I saw
her. Oh, she was there that night. What was your impression of the vigil crowd and the people and the faith and everything?
At that time, there was quite a few people there. And as soon as Veronica would approach the vigil grounds, you could feel the electricity just in the air. It was beautiful.
Is there anything else supernatural that you've witnessed at the grounds?
Yes. On the June 18th, 1991 vigil, it was raining that night, and these little twinkly lights are falling with the rain. It was absolutely breathtaking. And also that night, St. Teresa appeared to Veronica. And when I looked at St. Teresa's statue, it was like if St. Teresa actually was there herself. Her features were all
She
alive.
Looked like a real person.
A real person.
And you say there were sparkling, twinkling lights falling down during the vigil?
Yes.
You could see these?
Yes, definitely.
What color were they?
Like white little twinkly lights. It's falling with the rain all over everyone.
Wow, grace is from heaven, right?
Yes.
Oh, that's marvelous. So this is basically what launched you into the Bayside movement when you went to your first vigil. So where has it taken you from there? How has the Bayside message and the graces received from the grounds helped you since that time?
I've become much more spiritual. I pray the rosary. I attend Mass 3 or 4 times a week. It's helped me in the upbringing of my children. They also pray the rosary with me. And we have a very close relationship, very beautiful bond that we wouldn't have, without the graces of Jesus and Mary.
So Our Lady has used this mission. She had you in mind to get you more established in the faith because she wanted you to be an anchor for your family, for your husband, your children. You're like the anchor figure for your family.
Yes.
Do they all believe in the message?
Not everyone.
What about your husband?
He doesn't.
You ever got any buff from him?
I do. But
you have firm. Have the good graces to be patient and a spiritual woman, a religious woman. You know how to be meek and just to pass over the thing mildly and keep a prayer in your heart for him, right?
All the time.
Well, that's your mission. And the crosses that you receive from him or from the others, too, will be their salvation in time. That all goes toward their salvation. So what's beautiful? Well, now, Diane, I understand that Our Lady now recently worked an extraordinary grace for you. Would you like to tell our listeners about this?
Yes. I have been suffering muscle spasms in my shoulders for about 9 years now. And the last year or so, they had become more severe. The pain had become unbearable. It felt like I had 40 pounds sitting on each shoulder.
So, I mean, this was something that was, I mean, did you have to take, like, pain pills?
Yes, I took pain pills, extra strength Tylenol, muscle relaxers.
Have you ever gone to the doctor for it?
Yes, I did.
And what was their word?
They just said it was stress, and that's all they would tell me.
But they had no real remedy for it?
No.
So this continued now to get worse and worse?
Worse and worse. And on October 7th, 2000 vigil, I decided to sit in the infirm circle and ask for a healing. And from that night on, I have no pain at all. My shoulders are completely relieved.
No pain?
No pain.
You told me also off air that you had been suffering in connection with this from insomnia.
Yes, I would stay up half the night, and when I did get to sleep, it was just a couple hours of sleep. I was suffering from not having enough sleep, So since the vigil, I've also been able to sleep naturally.
So just to recap for our listeners, you were suffering with insomnia for a number of years. This was hampering your life. And especially, too, you were enduring this excruciating muscle spasms, which virtually was making your life unbearable. It was interfering with your performance, your duties. It was bearing down on you. And here you make one trip to the grounds on the 7th, and you leave the holy grounds completely alleviated of your problem.
Yes.
What is your comment, Diane?
My comment is that everyone that can make it to come to the vigil grounds, it's not necessary to get the approval of your priest. Just pray to the Blessed Mother and follow your heart.
As long as you're cured, right? Well, how do you feel today? I mean, what's your reaction? You must be bubbling inside.
Yes, I am. What great love for Jesus and Mary.
Beautiful. Well, you also told me off air that your son had received a cure some time back.
Yes. 8 years ago, my youngest son became very ill with pneumonia complicated by his asthma. He was in intensive care. I placed a rose petal in his sock, and my mother and I prayed the rosary daily by his bedside. He was so severely sick that his pediatrician remarked that he had been a doctor for 17 years, and he had never seen a worse case of pneumonia. On the 7th day, he just got out of bed and was in the rocking chair and had color in his cheeks. He had been on oxygen 24 hours a day. And the doctors and nurses remarked that he made a miraculous recovery.
So they weren't expecting him to do this?
No, maybe not so soon. He was very seriously sick.
And he just, like you at the grounds, just completely left him?
Just completely.
Well, that's quite a story. Is there anything about the Bayside message now, getting back to the message, anything in particular that strikes you about the message? What do you think is one of the most important issues facing the faithful today that Our Lady has talked about?
To remain traditional in the Catholic faith.
Which would mean then, of course, what she's referring to is to practice our religion as it was done before the Council of Vatican II. With the proper norms of reverence, the ladies cover their heads in church. We receive communion kneeling from a priest only, not in the hand, and also retain all the good books, the good teachings of the faith as it has been passed on to us. One of the great tragedies of our time is that the Catholics have lost regard for their sacred heritage. They no longer rest satisfied with what's been passed on to us through holy tradition. The trend since the Council has been to bury the jewels of the faith and just sort of lock it in a back room, as it were. So what Our Lady wants us to do is to avail ourselves of this grace, to retain the tradition, to conserve it. And this is what it means to be conservative, to save, to hold on to, because what our Lord has given us through holy tradition is certainly worth holding on to. Would you not agree, Diane?
Yes.
And this is really what Our Lady is all about. She's not come to teach us a new religion, but rather to remind us what we have to get back to, because as we stated before, that chastisement is going to come, how did you say that? By sky.
By right? Sky.
By sky. Well, Diane, do you have any final comments that you would like to share with our listeners?
Yes. Like I said, if you can make it, come to the vigil grounds, follow your heart, pray to the Blessed Mother, and she'll lead you there.
Well, Diane, we want to thank you for sharing this story of faith with us today. And Godspeed, Our Lady be with you in the days ahead. And certainly and hopefully you will be instrumental in passing this grace on to others.
Thank you.
God bless. You are listening to St. Michael's Broadcast, and that was Diane Contreras of Huntington Park, California, and just another marvelous example of the grace of Our Lady working in the lives of her people. In the 11th chapter of St. John, we see how Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead in the presence of all the people. And because of this, the Pharisees and high priests gathered a council and said, "What shall we do? For this man does many miracles. And if we leave him alone, everyone will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away our place and nation." From that day, therefore, they devised to put him to death. By the way, there, I was quoting from St. John's Gospel, chapter 11. It's sad that our Lord's miracles have to evoke this kind of malice. But it's even sadder that this attitude still has to prevail today. For in our time, our Lord is working miracles, as you've seen. And many of the scribes and high priests of today have said, "What shall we do? For this Bayside produces many miracles. And if we don't silence it, everyone will believe in it, and it will take the glory away from us. This interferes with what we are doing." And indeed, it does interfere with what they are doing. But the question, What are they doing? Our Lady answered this on July 15, 1978, when she said, quote, "They have become of the world, seeking gold and silver and honor and power among men, until in their pursuits they are handing over my son's church to the enemies of God," unquote. We have to understand that Our Lady's purpose in these last days is to put down this revolt of Antichrist, which rages today within the church, and to open the way for the sake of the humble and the innocent and those who truly love and those who truly care, so that they can have access to the kingdom of God. Because without Our Lady's intercession at Bayside, that kingdom of God would forever be taken from them. Because the whole conspiracy of our time is to close the door on the past and withhold the kingdom of God from God's children. Were it otherwise, the clergy of our time would all too eagerly accept the Bayside message and preach it from the pulpit. But because the message contains the religion that they were raised with, they reject it. So when Our Lady starts talking about the demon in the church, or abortion, or witchcraft, or homosexuality, understand that this is the work of heaven to expose and refute these evils so that we can be liberated from them. As the Bible says, "The truth will make you free," John 8:32. And Our Lady has come to us with the truth from heaven that we may be liberated from this diabolical deception of our day. Where would we be without Our Lady of the Roses at Bayside? Again, to receive the free information from the Shrine, you can write to us, St. Michael's World Apostolate, P.O. Box 514, Bayside, New York, 11361. There is no cost to receive this information. However, we do remind you that this radio apostolate is dependent on your gift offerings, without which this program goes nowhere. So if you would like to see this message continue each week over the station, then send along your gift offerings today payable to St. Michael's World Apostolate. And again, we do remind you that your donation is tax deductible. And also, we invite you to visit our website at www.smwa.org. This will give you a good idea to see what this apostolate is all about and how this is beautifully developed in the last 3 years now, since its inception back in January of 1997. Our Lady tells us in her message that the procedures for holy orders must be followed. That's a full 8-year course, if not longer, in the study of philosophy, theology, and all what needs to be studied to be a priest. We say this because the tendency today is for everyone to be on the altar. The lay people want to assume the sacred duties and dignities of the priest without studying to be a priest. We're going to play for you a segment of the message from heaven as it was delivered to Veronica by Our Lady on October 6, 1976. And the message, in fact, refers to one such person who was trying to make himself an instant priest. Veronica at the vigils would be in a state of ecstasy in which she would see the Blessed Mother and Jesus. Veronica would repeat out loud the message they would give her. Now, what you're going to hear is Veronica's voice, but it is the Virgin Mary speaking through her.
D.S. has been given fair warning by Our Lady to cease and desist, or he will be exposed. It is in the merciful heart of Jesus and the Eternal Father that a warning is given, and then action will be taken by heaven. Pray a constant vigilance of prayer, for Satan shall attack all who seek to remain on the road to heaven. The greatest attacks will be upon those who become and fall in the name of pride and arrogance. Yes, my child, you must pray for him, for his soul is in great danger. It is a merciful act from heaven that you give this message to him, my child. Do not be afeard. He will go no farther than the Eternal Father permits. Now, my child, you will understand my messages of a short time ago, and you have learned with difficulty, I should say, my child, the hard way, that there can truly be no instant priest. This merger that he made was not of God. It has been allowed by the Eternal Father in order to set some people straight, my child. There are others who will follow in his path, and they will bring much sorrow to heaven. It is a lesson that he has learned, but now he must act upon it and go to a confessor, a good, a true Roman Catholic priest. He must go to a confessor, a Roman Catholic priest, my child. In the mercy extended by the Eternal Father, you will tell him again, he must go to a Roman Catholic priest and make a full confession. Amen, my child. And I bless you for your courage to speak out in a time such as this, my child. It is only when you can lose all self-interest and think not of yourself, but to reach out with your heart and your faith to save a soul, my child, that you are fully graced by heaven.
Again, we invite you to write in for the free information. That address, St. Michael's World Apostolate, P.O. Box 514, Bayside, New York, 11361. That's St. Michael's World Apostolate, Post Office Box 514, Bayside, New York, 11361. And that just about wraps it up for today. Please join us again next week as we continue with this urgent message of Our Lady of the Roses at Bayside. Until then, may Our Lady bless you, and may she shower you with graces in abundance.